Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. On this Tuesday, the Lutheran Church will celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. Legend holds on that day, this Augustinian friar, a doctor of theology by the name of Martin Luther, posted his 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Luther had no intention of starting a revolution. He was merely hoping to start a conversation. He had distributed his theses about to various scholars so they could join in a discussion regarding the theological implications of indulgences, especially the sale of indulgences. In the centuries before Luther's time, the Roman Catholic Church had dominated the Western world. The church had its sole control over all aspects of daily life, whether it was education, philosophy, politics, religion, the arts. They had sole power, and as we well know, with power comes corruption. And the church had become very corrupt. It was truly the dark ages for the Christian church, as key biblical doctrines were covered up or even lost and forgotten. Most importantly, the truth of the gospel had become obscured. Salvation by faith alone in Jesus had been lost. As Luther grew up and went off to the university to study theology, the church taught him that a person could earn God's favor. Not only just favor, but earn salvation by performing good works. He was taught and then believed that his salvation was totally dependent on what he did and how he battled to win his own salvation. Everything depended on his efforts, not Jesus' efforts. And we know that this is not the way a person is saved. Luther was operating under a false concept of God and salvation because he had lacked to be taught the truth of the gospel. As we briefly discussed downstairs this morning, Luther did everything he possibly could that the church required. He even went above and beyond what was required. He thought that he was doing well more than enough to earn Christ's favor. But in all that he did, God's law still told him he was a poor, miserable sinner. He was accused and crushed by the Ten Commandments and under the threat of God's wrath for his sin. And then the day came when Luther was preparing to teach Romans at the university. He made a discovery. Although he had studied the book of Romans many, many times before, this day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God opened his eyes to the text. As he read in the text of Romans, Paul writes, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." By the power of God, the truth was revealed to Luther, and the gospel set him free. The only way to be declared righteous in the sight of God was through faith alone in Christ Jesus, apart from the works of the law. Nothing else was required. No indulgences, no pilgrimages, no prayers to Mary or to the saints. Luther was free to just simply rest in the grace and favor and love of God the Father. And this grace, favor, and love was freely poured out for him, as it's freely poured out for you as well, all because of what Christ Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. The truth of the gospel, it is the good news of Jesus Christ, had been rediscovered. And to be sure, that truth has always been there in Scripture, but it had been obscured and hidden, covered by centuries of abuse and tradition of the church. And this is why we celebrate the Reformation. No, we don't worship Luther. The Reformation is not about Luther or the Reformers. As you see on the front of your bulletin, the Reformation is still all about Jesus. By the grace of God in the Reformation, heresies and false doctrines were brought to light. Christianity was pointed back to the truth of the gospel. What had been lost was now found. In God's precious gospel, the truth was revealed that salvation comes through faith. You know, in God's word, it bespeaks us righteous, as we just sang, thy strong word. In that scripture, you have everything you need. You have the one and only truth of God's plan of salvation for all mankind. God's plan for a recreation of his creation that became sinful under Adam and Eve. You have the truth that you're justified by grace alone, through faith alone. This is God's promise to you, all for the sake of his Son, Jesus. That's why we had the gospel procession this morning. The gospel has been returned to the people. It's not my words who is, although God is using me as a mouthpiece, it's not my words. The words are Jesus' words, his words of salvation for you. Christ himself is speaking his word for your salvation. So we brought his word reverently back out to you, the people, and proclaimed Christ for you, to help you focus on the gospel of Jesus. And what did Jesus tell us this morning? Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus sets up a conditional sentence here. If you do this, then this will be true. If you abide in Jesus' word, you are truly his disciple. Now, how do we abide? Well, the abide means to stick to or remain with and hang on to. So if you stick with Jesus' word or hang on to his word, dwell in it, then you are truly his disciples. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, that word sets you free. It sounds way too easy, but you have God's promise. Think of it as your doctor prescribing you medication. You have a disease, and this medication will cure it. It's the best medication. But if you just leave that medication set on the shelf and don't take it as prescribed, it's not going to do you any good. The same goes with God's word. If we leave it set on the shelf and don't abide in his word, there's no way of knowing the truth. nor being set free by it. If you don't hang on to God's word, Jesus says you cannot be his disciple, and you will die an eternal death because you deprived yourself of God's eternal medication, his life-saving word. There's power in God's word. We use the word efficacious. The word does what it says. Now, yes, it is true that you can read the Bible just like you'd read a magazine or read an internet article, and that's not going to make you a disciple. But when you abide in God's word and dwell on it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through your meditation, it creates faith. It cracks hardened hearts and opens them up to the word of God. And then you are truly Jesus' disciple. I think we all know of someone who was brought up in the Christian church. They went to Sunday school, they were baptized, they were confirmed. And today they're no longer here. And not just not here in a pew at St. Timothy, but not sitting in a church pew anywhere. They have forsaken their faith. They have turned their backs on God's word. That is Satan's goal, to deceive people, obscure the truth in God's word, and lead people astray. So that is important that we do abide in God's word and stick to it. And the first step is easy. You're all here this morning. Being in worship, hearing God's word proclaimed is a huge step forward. Christian education, youth and adult confirmation, Sunday school, Bible study, doing your devotions at home with your family, all these things, abiding in God's word, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. This is why Jesus told his disciples to go to all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that he had commanded. There's an old German proverb that says, "The truth may be suppressed, but not strangled." Christ Jesus is the truth. Satan still tries to suppress that truth. Satan's already lost the war, but he doesn't have the good sense to give up fighting the battles. The truth will not be strangled. You have God's promise. The Church of Rome tried to obscure the truth and suppress the truth. The chief priests and the Pharisees, even one of Jesus' own disciples, did not believe the truth in Jesus. But regardless of how hard Satan battles, attempting to deceive human minds with lies and watered-down gospel, that truth will never be strangled, because the word of our God will stand forever. It begins with Moses and the prophets and goes throughout the whole entire New Testament, proclaiming that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There are no hoops to jump through, no good works and deeds, or any other fancy achievement that you have to do to earn that forgiveness. Jesus has done it all when he said, "It is finished." It comes as a free gift to you for the sake of Jesus. He's providing you with everything you need to be found worthy and acceptable before God. Apart from Jesus, you and I are slaves to our sin. As Jesus said, a slave can never be sure of his future. A slave can be bought or sold at a moment's notice. But in his great love for you, Jesus went to the cross and purchased you out of slavery of sin and set you free. Through his work of salvation, He provides you freedom from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He provides it for all who believe in him and are baptized into his name. You are a child of God through faith. Ever since Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as we talked in Bible study this morning, Jesus had a target on his back, and Satan went after him. As a baptized Christian, you are marked with the sign of the cross. You also have a target on you, and Satan goes after you. But as Satan continues fighting the battle, he's lost the war. The truth will not be strangled. And on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we look at history and see nothing has really changed. First century, 16th century, and today. Salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Christ Jesus alone, as we are taught in Scripture alone. He has freed you from your sin and slavery, and if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.